Scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Jesus speaking said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Are you an adulterer? Brother Healy has told me an example. He's been down to Peru, getting ready to go down to Peru again. And the brethren down there were telling him about an example of a pastor down there who had learned the language, and they use words to describe a male, young male, and a word to describe an adult male. And he wanted the adulteress to come forward, which he thought he was saying, "Adult males, all you adult males, come forward." But he was using the word for adulterers. Well, none of them came forward. And he kept urging them to come, those adulterers, to come. And when they didn't come, he began to call them by name. And you know, their wives are getting all excited. He caused quite a commotion. But he has since been known as the adulterating pastor. But it's kind of funny, but it... Are you an adulterer? Well, this passage of Scripture that we have, all these verses, are dealing with the prohibition of adultery. Jesus, here in our text this morning, continues to show the real intent and full extent of the law by expounding to us the seventh commandment. He refers to the law and the prophets, that which he told them he'd not come to do away with. He'd come to fulfill it. And he's thus expounding to them last week and again this week. And again next week, I think we'll get into it. The law and the prophets. Examples from the commandments. let us remember that He is God. And therefore, is the lawgiver. And as such, He has the right to give us the exposition of it, the interpretation of it, the true intent and full extent of its meaning. And this law is a law against uncleanness. He wants a people that is pure, that is clean unto Himself. And He instructs us concerning the control of sinful passions and appetites. So it therefore instructs us in the exercise of self-control. Exercise of self-control. We would say, putting to death the desires and passions of the flesh. So in verse 27, we have the commandment is stated. And he goes directly to the law and the prophets, to the Old Testament. Once again, Jesus directs them to the Old Testament law by saying, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. As a reference to the law given at Mount Sinai, and since the law given at Mount Sinai, it was read by Moses and the scribes and the priests, and it was a practice that continued even to their present day and time. The commandment from God was, and get this, the commandment from God was, thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. And it was repeated again in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 18. Is that a principle that God has done away with? Is that a principle? Is that a command that through Jesus Christ has been done away with? Jesus Christ said no. And he goes to that commandment. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Israelites and the Jews of that day had a faulty extent of that commandment. The scribes and the Pharisees thought and taught that the command's only restriction was that of the act. Just like they did with thou shalt not kill. Jesus showed us that, well, where does killing stem from? Anger. Hatred. In the heart. He said, illustrated that in the example of Luke chapter 18, in verse 11. Where the Pharisee stood up and prayed. I can see it now. Thus with God. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. And he said, adulterers and covetous, like other men. See, they were concerned, well, I haven't committed that. I haven't done it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, in verses 2 and 3, we referred to that last week, Jesus said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That is, they sat there as instructors of the law and teachers of the law. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, whatsoever they bid you, do. But don't do like they do. And he went on to explain that they outwardly look all clean, but inside the cup is dirty. Inside the tomb is dirty. They painted it all up outside and made it look nice and pretty. And you drive by some of our cemeteries and beautiful headstones, and in the cemeteries are immaculately manicured and trimmed and look nice and neat, and there's flowers decorating those grave sides. But what's inside? Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. He said, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Well, that pretty well sums up the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. It sums up the nation of Israel and Judah in Ezekiel's day. It sums up the people in our day and time. Sad to say, it sums up Baptist church members of our day and time as well. So Christ referred to the commandment, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. The law, the scribes and the Pharisees and the people of the day had a faulty view of the commandment. They thought it just limited the external. Well, Jesus sets forth now to expound to them the true intent and the full extent of that commandment. And he said in verse 28, and the true intent and full extent of this commandment is carried on from verse 28 down through verse 32. But in verse 28 he said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in the heart. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and God had told his people this. It's not something new with Jesus. God had told his people, the nation of Israel, this in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and verse 16. He said, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. In other words, it's true circumcision is not the outward. True circumcision is in the heart. It's a cutting away of the filth of the flesh. That filthy heart. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, he repeats it again to the nation of Israel in verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. What did Jesus just tell the scribes and the Pharisees? What did Jesus just tell his disciples on the mount? In our text. Circumcise the heart. He said, evil proceeds from the heart. Referring to the scripture we used last week, the Matthew chapter 15. And, Lord willing, in the future, we'll be getting to chapter 15. But in verse 19, he said, it's from the heart that proceed murders, fornications, adultery. It's from the heart that they come forth. It's from the heart. They find lodgment in the heart. They're bred in the heart and in the way of lust. And then we do the act. You see? The fact that we've committed the act just shows that, well, it roosted in the heart before it became the act. Jesus exposes the law as governing the passions and appetites of the flesh. He said, do not lust. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not lust. He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery in his heart. To see her or his beauty, I guess our day and time we say men aren't beautiful, but scriptures call certain ones beautiful, beauty. But to see her or his beauty and acknowledge it as being beauty is not wrong. And granted, sometimes we cannot help but see things we hadn't ought to see. I mean, that's the world in which we live. We just see those things, and we hadn't ought to see them. We can't help it. But to linger at the sight, not to be repulsed by the sight, but to see something beautiful and to think, ah. Wonder what he or she would be like. Well, certainly it's got to be better than what I've got. You see, to linger at the sight and then to desire is what is forbidden. Genesis chapter 39 and in verse 7, a well-known account that we are familiar with concerning Joseph and Potiphar's wife. It says there in Verse 7 of that 39th chapter of Genesis, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. You see, she just didn't see his beauty, but she desired his beauty. She wanted him to come to bed with her. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25, Solomon in all his wisdom, and some of his wisdom was gotten by experience, I'm sure, said, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Don't lust after her beauty in thine heart. What does she have that you don't already have at home? James chapter 1 in verse 14 and 15, he said, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So the spirit of the law gets to the heart, which is to get to the heart of the matter. It's to get to the root cause of our actions. In the book of Psalms, and David said in chapter 66 and verse 18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. See, not in the action. But if I have iniquity in my heart and I know it and conceal it. Then he goes on to say, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, the Lord looks on your heart and he knows what's there. In the heart. Well, that's a difficult situation, isn't it? Because those desires and passions are common to every man. They're common to every woman. And Jesus knew that. And so he said in verses 29 and verse 30 that we need to put to death our members. It's by sight that we lust. And it's by the hand we touch and act. One writer put it like this, said like this. He used the eye and the hand as examples because men are stimulated by sight. Women, on the other hand, are stimulated by touch. Well, I think more appropriately he's covering, as he said, in the heart proceed our actions. So the eye gate is the channel by which we take in and lust, and with the hand we act. Simply what he's saying here is not that we're literally to poke out our eye and cast it from us or cut off our right hand and cast it from us. But He's teaching us that we need to put to death those desires and passions, those appetites that stem from the sight and lead us into action, lead the hands into touching and doing. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I die daily. He said in verse 30, he said, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? He's talking about primarily he and the apostles and those who were faithful to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. And because they dare preach the gospel, they were suffering jeopardy. They were hazarding their lives. He said in verse 31, he said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. What was he saying there? He dies daily. He was saying he crucifies the desires and passions of the flesh. Listen, it wasn't easy for the flesh to undergo the ridicule and the mocking. It wasn't easy for the flesh to undergo the persecution and the stonings and the whippings that Paul received and the other apostles. That flesh, I'm sure that flesh cried out against it. I'm sure that flesh wanted to give up. It's the same desires and passions that motivate us to do what we do that is wrong, that we have no ought to do. In this case, adultery. Paul said, you got to put them to death so that you can preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give testimony to the fact that the Lord is risen. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He said in chapter 9, verses 26, he likened his life and his ministry to that of an athlete who had to make this body submit to be in training, to be a good athlete, to win the prize that was out there. And he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He said, literally, I subdue the desires and passions of this body, this flesh. I beat it black and blue. I kill it. Job said, turn with me to the book of Job. Job said he made a covenant with his eyes. Because he had made a covenant with his eyes. Why? Why should he look on a woman, upon a maid? A woman. In verse 1 of chapter 31. In verse 7 he said, If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door. What is he saying? He said he made a covenant with his eyes. Not to look upon a woman. Not to lust after her beauty. Not to be thinking, I've got a wife. I've got children. At home. Kill those desires. Kill those passions. Yes, they're common to every man. They're common to every woman. But kill them. We have examples in the Word of God of what will happen if you don't kill them, if you don't put them to death. We already referred to Joseph and Potiphar's wife. See, Potiphar's wife saw Joseph. She desired. And she acted. Acted to the point of laying hands upon him. He fled. Praise God, Joseph fled. Joseph fleeing is an example to you and I to flee. Samson, in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 1, Samson saw an harlot. And he acted. Well-known one. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. David saw Bathsheba. And he acted. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14 concerning those evil, wicked men who were full of desires and passions that were not towards God. And he called them their natural brute beast. And he said in verse 14, he said, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. You see, they have those eyes that are full of lust, and they can't cease from their sin. They give in to it. And so we're exhorted in the book of Colossians, that well-known passage of Scripture in chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. And the last one in that verse is covetousness. That pretty well covers adultery, doesn't it? Which is idolatry, he said. Next, he said, do not put away. Verses 31 and 32. We're not going to say a whole lot upon it today. Only a few comments. Because if the Lord wills, we'll cover that one in more depth when we get to chapter 19. Basically, he tells us in verses 31 and 32, do not put away. He said, it hath been said. Yeah, what's different about that than others? Well, notice that he did not say by them of old time, nor did he say, ye have heard. In other words, the practice of putting away was not a commandment from God. It was something that men did. It was not an Old Testament command. It was not It was not the law of Moses or the command of God by him. He said in Matthew chapter 19 that Moses suffered them because of the hardness of their heart. Moses let them do it because of the hardness of the heart. You see, it seems to have been a practice that they brought from Egypt of easily putting away. And he let them continue for the cause of uncleanness, fornication. It had direct reference to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24 and verse 1, where Moses is allowing them to set them free by giving them a bill of divorcement. If she has not found favor in his sight, or found any uncleanness in her. The practice of the Pharisees was that if a wife or husband didn't please their spouse any longer, well, they could get rid of them by sending them away and giving them a bill of divorcement in the witness of a couple people. It was allowing it for just any reason. She doesn't find favor in my sight no more. He doesn't find favor in my... Well, why doesn't she find favor in your sight anymore? Why doesn't he find favor in your sight anymore? You got your eyes looking where the hand ought to be? Is that what Jesus said? Well, I think it is. Jesus said the full force of it is, but I say unto you, I, God, say unto you, I, the one with authority, said, saving for the cause. We would say, well, that word cause means, well, reason, right? Well, that's interesting. The word cause in the Greek literally means speech or word. So in other words, he said, saving for the speech or the word of fornication. This was not a command to divorce. Let's get that out of our heads. If your spouse, you find your spouse is a fornicator, you don't have to divorce them. One, the command. It was simply a letting it happen, as Jesus said, because of the hardness of their hearts. Because they're bent on getting rid of them. Look at the 19th chapter of Matthew. Don't take Seth Bourne's word for it. Matthew 19:8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, let you, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. What was from the beginning? Well, he took them back to Genesis chapter 2 when he said that a husband should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That was God's command. Don't mistake God's letting for God's command. Now, in so doing though, if he or she has fornicated, and you put them away, in so doing, you're causing he or she to commit adultery. Well, what if they don't marry again? Well, then they're not committing adultery, are they? But Jesus knew that probably 99 out of 100 were going to remarry. Maybe it's 999 out of 1,000 were going to remarry. And he wanted them to know that you putting them away is going to cause them to commit adultery. Which he has forbidden in the heart and in the action. And furthermore, he says, whoever marries the one that you've put away is committing adultery. Whether he had committed adultery previously or not, whether he was divorced previously or not, maybe it's the first time of marriage for him. But he's committing adultery by marrying her or him that's been put away. Listen, these are not my words, these are God's words. Is it important? It was an Old Testament law. And the thrust of the Old Testament law got to the heart. We tried to show that. And Jesus brought it over into the New Testament and kept it in full force. And he did so by it being repeated, given to us here in Matthew chapter 5, but then repeated again in Matthew chapter 19, repeated in Mark chapter 10, and repeated in Luke chapter 10. Three of the Gospels record it for us. So in conclusion, man's going to say, we're going to say, that's more than I can bear. That's more than I can stand up under. Well, true. But consider this. All of God's commandments are more than we can bear, more than the flesh can bear. But if we'll put to death our members, which are upon the earth, we shall have the praise of God. Shall we not? Turn with me in closing. Book of Romans, in chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We ought to be seeking to praise God and not to please ourselves or someone else. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing, Brother Mike.
Thank you.